You know, through the centuries, there's probably always been a truth that young people, when they hit their teens, they want to find some type of unique identity. And they often show it in their clothes, their music, some unique activities. They want to break away from the establishment, the common, and have some special uniqueness. But there's probably never been a generation just like ours in that not only do the young people today want to do that, but we live in a generation when young people are teaching adults. And that's probably especially true in the media, the tech section. And it's created a whole new dynamic between young people and adults. Youth and adults are in a special relationship today. And we often hear at youth meetings and sometimes from our church pulpits, young people, you're the future of the church. And there's some truth to that. But then sometimes they go on and say, well, not only the future, you are the church of today. Well, there's some truth to that too. Sometimes that is said with the thought of, and you old people, I mean, you that are in power and establishment and run the church and on the board, it's time for you to move over and let the young people run things because they have the creativity. They have energy. They have the ideas. And if we only had the young people running things, things would be better. Well, there's probably some truth in that as well. However, I believe that's not God's plan. I believe God's plan is intergenerational. We need each other. None of us is indispensable. And it is young people and those older to bring what is the gifts and the experiences, the energy together. Look how we intergenerationally can support each other in having a healthy, delightful church. You know, when you go through the seasons of life, we often have a picture in our mind of the seasons of life. It starts off with spring, things, you know, creative starting, blossoming, getting going. Moving to summer with the leaves and the cool breezes and nice summer temperature through the fall, the different colors, along with the fruits and the trees, and with after the fall, autumn, you have the fall, winter. It's interesting because you talk to people, different people, and different people actually enjoy different seasons. Not everybody enjoys one or the other. It is the memories you have. It is the meaning you have. There's some wholesome, positive things can be said for each season of the year. But there's the impression that when you get to winter, you're over the hill and you got to be put on the shelf. You're no good for anybody anymore. You're just taking up space. Is that true? Is that what we'd like to think about our seniors? Maybe you were one of those young people, starry eyes, dating, and you said to the one that you love, bring me real joy and happiness if you were willing to walk life with me and we could get old together. Have you heard of that? That's a phrase that's common. But have you ever thought of what it would be like when you get to be a senior? What do you say? What do you say? When you look in each other's eyes and have all the memories of journey to where you are as a senior, and you say, you know, if our health holds up, we may have 10 or 15 years or even less that we will be together. When Celeste and I started dating, what we said was, I believe if we walk through life together, we will go through the Orion together. A very significant statement for Seventh-day Adventists. And so that is what we say to each other today. Now that we are there, we said, our delight will be to welcome Jesus together, ultimately to go through the Orion together. You know, there's some interesting stories about seniors and about grandchildren. So this grandchild called his grampy, and he, on his birthday, and his grampy, how old are you? And grampy said, I'm 72. And there was a little pause on the other end of the line, and the grandchild said, grampy, did you start at one? What season of life do you enjoy your grandchildren? At what season of life can you enjoy the fruits of your labor? At what season of life can you retire and focus on doing things that you like? At what season of life can you have financial security? At what season of life can you settle in the companionship of marriage? At what season of life do you have the time, potential for free time? At what season of life can you look with satisfaction on accomplishments? Another quote between of a grandparent and grandchildren. After putting her grandchildren to bed, the grandmother decided to change into old slacks and a droopy blouse and proceeded to wash her hair. As she heard the children getting more and more rambunctious, her patience grew thin. Finally, she threw a towel around her head, stormed into the room, put them back to bed with a stern warning. As she left the room, she heard the three-year-old say with trembling voice, "Who was that?" The challenge around aging is the perception that seniors have four dominant experiences. They lose their physical health. They lose their mental ability. They're worried about financial insecurity. And they're lonely and in nursing homes. Although it is true that seniors eventually die, it is not true that only seniors die. So let's turn to some biblical texts that encourage us to respect our seniors. You may want to write these down, or you can drop me a line and I'll send you my notes. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." That's not a custom so much in North America, is it? But listening to someone, other people say there are cultures that really do respect their seniors. This Bible says, you know, you should stand up, rise before a gray-headed, and honor the presence of an old person. So honor. And my daughter, who works in nursing in an area that there are a lot of Spanish people living, she says the Spanish people really honor their family and their seniors. There are probably some other cultures as well. 1 Chronicles 29:28 says, "So David died in a good old age, full of riches and honor," being honored. Has security and honor in old age. Psalm 92:14. "They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." So this idea of over the hill, put on the shelf, no longer used for anything, is not a picture of the Bible. In fact, if you think about it, someone who retires 60, they could have potentially another 30 years to contribute And if you take a look at our church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, across the island, across Canada and the world, I think you will see that there are a significant number of seniors that are contributing. Psalm 20, 29, Proverbs 20, 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." Now, it doesn't say anything about baldness, but this idea is the glory, it says, the splendor of old men. Doesn't encourage us to dye them here. Something beautiful about the gray hair. Proverbs 13, 22, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." And so this is a text that encourages that seniors have the opportunity to pass on a blessing, something special, to their children. Proverbs 3, 1 to 2. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they'll add to you." So those that are making the choice to love God have the promise of longer life. Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you." And I know there are many listening today that have invested significant time and resources to see that their senior parents are well cared for in their sunset time. Proverbs 4:18, "The path of the just is like a shining sun that shines even brighter under the perfect day," which indicates that the longer you walk with the Lord, the sweeter it is. And the more comfortable you are, the more friendship and depth is there. And so it is a blessing to be a senior. Now, lest you think I want to paint a picture, a fantasy of seniors riding into the sunset, let me share some of the challenges of this age group. 1 Kings 11:4 says, "So it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father." You know, sometimes it could be that we think seniors never have temptation. Everything's smooth. This text indicates that Solomon fell in a pit in his older age and turned his heart away from God. And so it's possible in older age to have special temptations. You can still be tempted to move away from God and actually embrace other gods in your life. 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." Seniors can fall in the trap of loving money, looking at their bank accounts all the time, get all wrapped up about money and be tempted to hoard money, to make money a god in their life. And that is a temptation. You never feel like you have enough. If you don't trust God, you'll just keep trying to be selfishly hoarding. In Numbers 11, 4 to 6, it says about a mixed multitude, the Egyptians that were with the children of Israel, they yielded to intense craving, it says. "So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing except this manna for our eyes.'" So there's a temptation for seniors here. We remember the good old days. And a focus on the good old days and where it is right now, there's a temptation to say, "I've had enough. I'm going back to that lifestyle. I'm going to go back to what it used to be." And they try to live their lives in that mindset, and they lose their way with God. Ezra 3:12, This is an interesting one. In Ezra 3:12, this was after the children of Israel came back from Babylon, and they were rebuilding the temple, and that was under Ezra. And there were some people there that were children, young people, in the time of the captivity when Babylon conquered Jerusalem and took them to captivity. 70 years later, they come back. And so there's some people that can remember what it used to be in the old temple. And it says, many of the priests and Levites, the heads of the father's house, old men who had seen the first temple, they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid. And you can understand that the new temple after the captivity was not as great as Solomon's temple. But was it a time to weep when the new generation under significant adversity are doing their best to reestablish worship in the return? And so it goes on to say, they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes, yet many shouted aloud for joy. So it's living in the past and not being willing to support the new generation. How important it is for us as seniors to see that we have the privilege. It may not be as great, and we tend to think in a glorified way of the good old days. I have a book in my library that says the good old days were terrible. And you don't have to go back many generations. Primary focus of the generations was survival. We have so many benefits. You will note, as you look closely of the five things that I've mentioned here, that the temptations of seniors are very, very similar to the temptation. The desire for love outweighs desire for God's way. That was Solomon's. The things for God, craving for money and things absorbs their lives. Longing for earlier days and forgetting God's blessings today. Finding excuses for not supporting those sacrificing for the Lord's work today. Now, another encounter between a young person, a grandchild, and his grandparents. A six-year-old was asked where his grandma lived. Oh, he said, she lives at the airport. And whenever we want her, we just go and get her. Then when we've done having her visit, we take her back to the airport. One of the pictures in the culture of the Bible that is not practiced very often today is the passing on of the blessing from the adult senior to his children. And you'll recall the story of Isaac wanting to pass on the blessing Esau. And he called Esau before him and told Esau, take your weapons, go out and find a deer for me, bring it back, make a savory food, so I may bless you before I die, in Genesis 27. Just a few weeks ago, Erica McIntyre was baptized in Bay Roberts. And for those that were there, it was very, very meaningful. One of the highlights to me was they showed a video, the pictures of her growing up. But included in that video was the voice of her mother passing on a blessing to her daughter that she knew so well. And you can imagine, especially since Stephanie passed away, how meaningful that was to Erica to hear the voice of her mother passing on a blessing. It is something that we should seriously think about as seniors, that we pass on. There's nobody knows the children more than we do. Pass on to our children. Here are the strengths that I see in your life. If you foster and encourage these are the potential things for your future. The child can hear the blessing. Another one that we have is Genesis 48, 49:28, and that's the story of Jacob passing on the blessings to his 12 boys in the end of the book of Genesis. So I ask you a question. Can you identify in your life a blessing that's been passed on to your parent? They may not have stated it, but you sense this is what was modeled. This is what I heard them say. And I receive a benefit when I think about my parents and the blessing they passed on. I'm going to mention just three that I feel my dad passed on to me and may have heard them before. He would always live by and say the principle, your word is as good as your signature. If you give your word to somebody, you have an obligation, and unless they release you, you are to fulfill that. And he lived that. As you know, he was hometown butcher, and he'd go into the farming community. He would gird the cattle, he would dicker with a price, and he would buy those cattle. He would come back, pick up the cattle, pay the person. He always carried a wad of money, never had a checking account most of his life. He'd pick up the cattle. But if that person sold it to somebody else, didn't keep their word, that was a no-no. That was a no-no. Another blessing that my dad passed on to me was work ethic. That the focus of your work is to accomplish, not to seek ease, not to seek pleasure, it is to produce. The focus of your life is to make a difference. Now, he was probably caught a little bit because he was self-employed. He only took one day off a year, and that was to go deer hunting. But that's a principle. When it's time to work, you work. Yes, and be balanced, take a break. The third thing that has been a blessing that we are endeavoring to pass on to our children, and that is, my parents said to us, the time that you need our financial support is not as an inheritance after we die. The time that you need our support is when you are struggling to meet your financial needs as you have children going to school and as you are establishing your home. So one of the practices my dad and mom had was he would buy a new car for cash. He would drive it for 4 years, put about 20, 25,000 miles on, so it's still brand new. And he would sell it to us for a fraction of the cost. And in that way, it became a financial realization for us so that we could have the funds to see that our children got through high school and college debt-free. And so we have embraced that principle. We've made the commitment to our grandchildren that we will support their mom and dad the best that we can to see that they finish college debt-free. I encourage you as seniors to think about how you can encourage your children and the time when they have needs and not think that my gift to them will be after I pass away. Now, unless you think I'm not really revealing the true full picture of the experience of seniors, let me include a few of the anxious texts of the Bible. 1 Kings 1:1. It says there, now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. So one of the things that you have to look forward to, some of us seniors, is that it's tough to be warm. But in reading that text that is so true, if I'm listening right around the corner, I get the understanding that maybe some ladies in our midst have cold feet, not just when they get old, but they may have it most of their life. But David did at the end, he had a tough time getting warm. Psalm 71:9 says, do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. That's probably one of the challenges that seniors have when they see they're getting older. I can remember my dad, he would flex his muscle and say, this muscle here, I used to be able to pick up 200 pounds of beef with one arm and put it on the hook in the cooler. now look at it. So it can be a psychological pressure, but as you get older, you do have to adapt. Your strength will grow less. Ecclesiastes 4:13, another challenge for seniors. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished by no one. So one of the challenges for seniors is they get set in their ways. We change, stuck. And I've done it this way before, so I'm going to do it again. And so they can't admonish, change. So it becomes, we call it stubborn. Luke 1:18, another challenge. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this, for I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And it's easy because it has been a regular routine, and we know decisions and consequences. Say, I'm an old person. That's not possible, Lord. And the Lord reminds us, am I not the God who opened the Red Sea, opened the Jordan? Am I not the one who opened the womb? Sarah could have a baby. There's nothing too hard from the Lord. So just remember that. Even though you are older and a senior, God still wants to use you. So a story. A teacher asked the children the name of a public servant. The small boy wrote, the fireman came down the ladder pregnant. The teacher took the boy aside to correct him. Don't you know what pregnant means? She said. Sure, said the young boy confidently. It means carrying a child. I want to give a quote from one of our own, Cecilia Locke, made in our presence, a quote on September 29, 2020. She said this, we put on our shoes in the morning, but we don't know who will take them off. Do you know the Bible says that seniors will have a special place in end time plans for God? In Joel 2:28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall, you're right, dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So God has a plan for intergenerational in our churches. And older people will not be put on the shelf. Older people will be included in the finish of God's work. The Bible presents seniors being honored and respected. Today's society shows more honor to strength, beauty, and creativity, and that young or youth is the preferred age group. Bible believers will embrace the ability, likes, creativity, and involvement of both youth and seniors. Youth have a vision of the future. Seniors see life through the past. Youth live life in anticipation of years to come. Seniors live in light of their few days ahead. Youth tend to love with passion. Seniors love with comfort. Youth will touch the hot plate. Seniors know it's hot. Youth try the new while seniors dive aside from experience. However, to youth and seniors, once you are unwilling to try something new, you have become old. God's promises to youth and seniors. Psalm 37:25. I have been young, now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seeds begging bread. God promises to both youth and seniors that he will be there with you for every step of your journey in life. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my of days and long life and peace they will add to you. He has promised long life to those who will live within his principles. Finally, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. The people who love the Lord will welcome the wisdom, experience, creativity, and presence of seniors into their fellowship and show them both honor and respect, the respect they deserve, having walked through the landmines of life and still keep a smile on their lips. It's a delight for us to think of our churches across the island, wherever you are, to honor those that have walked life's journey, to honor those who love the Lord and are open to share if you but ask them. Ask the seniors, young people. Ask them about life. Ask them about marriage. Ask them about decisions, what they would do in your circumstance. They have walked. I get a kick out of my grandchildren. Young people in their teens. And we chatter. And you know what? They forget that we were once teens. And that we can see through decisions that they are making because we once were there. Where they are, we once were there. Where we are, they someday will be. As an intergenerational church, let us endeavor to be open to the creativity, the strength, the new ideas that youth bring, and let us include the wisdom and experience, the dedication, and the perspectives of seniors. And together, we will have a better, wholesome, loving, caring church, serving our communities and serving our fellowship. May we honor each other as we walk life's journey. Loving Father, what a delight it is to show honor to our seniors, to be open to their perspectives, to involve them in our church programs, and to include the opportunity for intergenerational activity. It's not all this is how we've always done it. It is how can we do it better together and be willing to have a little discomfort in our feelings because it makes others happy. Be willing to do that. Try something new. Be willing to allow young people to have their say. Thank you, Lord, for our opportunity to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.